This is Mollywop Monday.
Mariners win! Kyle Seager pinch hit, walk-off base hit.
On Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Line drive, left field, here comes JP. They're waving him. Here's the throw. JP, he's in it. Mitch Haniger wins it with a base hit for the Mariners.
With Nathan Bishop from domeandbedlam.com.
High drive, headed for the pen. Big carry, big fly, bye-bye.
And Chris Crawford of NBC Sports Edge.
Hit well. That's going to get it done. What a slam to walk it off. Can you believe it? 6-2 final. The Mariners have swept the American League defending champion Tampa Bay Rays in four games, the first time in history.
Here's Ian Furness.
And with that, here we are, mollywopping, and yes, a true mollywop Monday. Thank you very much, Shed Long, Ian Furness, joined by the fellas, Chris Crawford, Nathan Bishop, and of course, as always, Mr. Baseball, KJR himself, Kevin Shockey. And gentlemen, Nathan, let's start with you. We don't do this often. In fact, we had an emergency session at one point when the baseball team in Seattle was no-hit for a second time this year. And we've did prospects or placeholders a couple weeks ago, but we got to give credit where credit is due. Four straight wins, 7-3 in their last 10. Yes, they're still 6.5 out in the West. Yes, they're still 5.5 out of a wild card spot. But Nathan Bishop, what say you about this Mariner team right now after a four-game sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, I think the coolest thing, Ian, and none of us got into this and started liking sports because we like yakking about front office guys and organizational faux pas and scandals and all that other stuff. And it's just been really refreshing the past week to have a week to focus on the players and the reason that we actually fell in love with this game in the first place. It's not necessarily – and now we're not having to worry so much the past week about, oh, what does this mean for when they're actually going to contend? Are they actually going to spend? Who's going to be here in charge of this? Because we're too busy having fun with guys like Shed Long hitting walk-off grand slams, which is the whole reason that we're here and why we care about this in the first place. So, you know, whether it's going to last or not, I'm still, you know, you can count me down. Everybody will be shocked to know that I'm not completely won over that this is a contending ball team right now. Yes. But who cares? The past week has been a blast, you know? So I think for now, we can just appreciate that we've had a reason to remember, especially with the fans getting to start to come back into the stadium and everything. It's just been, it's been a fantastic vibe. That scene yesterday with Shed Long hitting that walk off, that's such an easy guy to root for already. He's been through a lot of stuff. And on top, right after the Juneteenth celebration with the Steelhead uniforms and all of those guys, J.P. Crawford hitting a big home run in that game. It was just a really fun weekend, and God knows this franchise and this fan base could have really used it.
Chris, I'll get your takeaways from the weekend.
Well, I want to thank the Rays, first of all, the Mariners, I should actually be thinking, because they broke the Rays enough to have Wander Franco get called up, and I appreciate that. It's nice to finally be able to, we'll get to see the best prospect in baseball play, and I think the Mariners did that. Now, look, is any of this sustainable? No. Did that make it any less fun to watch all of this? No. This was a fun series. It was nice to have a reminder of what it's like to watch a team compete against a good team and succeed. And are these players that you can count on when they're going to be World Series contenders? Absolutely not. But I had fun watching it. It was a blast. Again, much of my Mariner fanhood is vicariously through my grandma, and my grandma had an absolute blast watching all of these games. And that's all that matters to me.
Kevin, you needed something fun this weekend. Was it fun for you? I mean, all due respect to your 76ers.
No, it's look. I mean, it's a good reminder that the guys that are playing the games, like, obviously, this is the most important thing in their lives, career-wise, and they're all trying really, really hard to win every game, and they're not worried about the conversations that we are having and the conversations that are taking place in the front offices and the conversations that are taking place above them. And so it's really nice to see the guys that are really trying hard to win every game get a little bit something back for them. And I will also throw at least a reasonably sized bouquet at Scott Service, because at some point, I don't know how much a manager can really affect in a game, but at some point when he is making the entire product way more than what you see on an individual basis looking at each part of the team, at some point you have to give some credit to the manager. If he's not affecting that, then there's no point in even having a manager. Just let the GM decide who starts.
Well, that's a good jumping off point. I'll just add this. When you can stay relevant, and if this happened and they're 20 out, if you have a 4-game sweep and you're 20 games out and it's August, nobody cares. And we're right now talking about Seahawks preseason football and who the backup left tackle is. I mean, that's the reality of where they are. But because, I mentioned, it still feels like, for a lot of reasons, not sustainable. I think we're all on the same page there. This lineup isn't what we're going to see in the next couple of years necessarily. All the things we've talked about on all these shows. But they're still 5.5 out. They're still relevant. It's a single digit. And I say 5.5 out of a wild card, 6.5 of the division. But let's be honest, this is a wild card team only, if anything. And so that made it fun. And I always talk about, just sometimes you're in the neighborhood. We have a group in our neighborhood, a lot of patio time this time of year, Saturday night, looking through, watching through the window. And guys are like, we're literally paying attention. That won't happen later on sometimes. Relevancy is great in baseball, and it was awesome, and it was a great weekend for all the reasons you guys just said, whether it's Shed Long Jr. or Crawford. Doesn't matter. What we saw over the weekend was fun, and that's cool. Nathan Bishop, Dome and Bedlam Podcast, Chris Crawford, NBC Sports Edge. He is our prospect guy, Kevin Shockey, Ian Furness, with you here on Sports Radio 950 KJR. It is the Molly Wap Monday. Nathan, let me take one step back to what Kevin said, and I'm glad he brought up Scott Service. We've spent a lot of time on these shows, and I think rightfully so, looking at a very critical eye of Jerry Dipoto. But Scott Service, if we all are on the same page, Nathan, and say, this is not a good roster, I mean, despite what just happened, it's not a good roster. Scott Service does deserve some credit, doesn't he?
I think he does. I've kind of warmed up. I was pretty cold on Scott Service when he was first hired here, and a lot of his tendencies, and this is a guy who had never managed baseball before when he was hired to be the manager in 2016 for the Mariners, and I think he came into a really tough situation with a win-now, veteran-laden roster that was a strong clubhouse with a lot of personalities in there between Robinson Cano and Felix Hernandez. It's a lot to manage if you've never done that before. We were sold on the idea that he would be great with young guys, which made it curious that he was brought into that situation in the first place, but now he's been given an opportunity with a young roster, and I think we're seeing it. I think it's hard for people like myself with an analytical bent because we want to be able to assign a number to every single thing that happens on a sporting field. And when you're dealing with a manager, especially in baseball, where the sport is really, there's not a lot of tactics out there. It's fill out the lineup and go out there and throw better and hit better than the other guys. So when a team is going to win or lose, how do you rate the manager's impact on that? I don't think we can. And I think that makes us often kind of overlook the impact that a manager can have. And I think the biggest one they probably have is culture. Keeping guys from bottoming out, standing in front of a media after a game and sticking up for their players, keeping everybody pulling on the same cord. And I think that he's done a really good job of that this year. I mean, even in the past week, we've seen guys getting scratched from lineups. I think there was one game where they had two guys scratched before the game started, and then it was a game where Justin Dunn had to leave with shoulder discomfort. And it's just like guys are just dropping like flies. I won't speak for all of you guys. I and my friends have been just waiting for the wheels to come off of this for the entire year, basically. And if we're going to assign credit to somebody for why it hasn't, I think we need to at least consider starting with Scott Service. He's done a really good job keeping this clubhouse together.
Chris, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nathan hit it on the head that it is very difficult to quantify how good of a manager Scott Service is. Like, and I tweeted about this. He's been here so long, and I still don't really know how great of a manager he is, but that has nothing to do with Scott Service. It's just the fact that he's been given a terrible hand. So really, to use the poker stuff, he's had to bluff his way through the last 3 years, basically, of what he's been doing. But I think he's improved his bullpen usage. And look, we're not in the clubhouse, so we don't really know the impact he's making there. But all of the people I talked to have rave reviews for that. So look, at the very least, I think Scott Service has earned the right to manage this team when it's good, and give him credit for keeping this group together, because a lot of these groups, especially after what happened with, like, I think he handled the Kendall Graveman situation and the COVID-19 situation as well as you can possibly handle it. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for that. You know, when this team is built to win, then I think expectations are going to have to be higher. That's just the nature of the beast. But I do believe Scott Service has earned the right to manage this team when it is built to be a contender.
Great points by both Chris Crawford, Nathan Bishop, Kevin Shockey. When we come back, I had a conversation with somebody, and I want to really kind of dive a little deeper into, we kind of talk big picture a lot of times about where this lineup is going to be and who's going to be in this lineup in the future and,
sure.
You know, who's here and who's not. I want to talk about a guy specifically in J.P. Crawford. I want to hit him coming up next. I mean, all he has done is got better as a hitter all year. He's coming off a Gold Glove year at shortstop, and yet we're talking about oftentimes J.P. Crawford being moved to second so they can go sign a free agent shortstop. So I want to kind of dive into that a little bit more, because to me, maybe you don't have to worry about that. And maybe you look for a second baseman, but maybe I'm unrealistic in that sense, or maybe Shed Long is that guy. Who knows? We'll talk about that. Let's talk about someone who should be here in the long term, but where will he be? We'll do that with J.P. Crawford. Also, I may want to also touch in on Jack Bauer from 24. We also know him as Jake Bowers from the Mariners on a nice little hitting streak as well. Chris Crawford, Nathan Bishop, Ian Furness, Kevin Shockey. More Molly Whopping Monday after a 4-game sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. Coming up next on 950 KJR.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, welcome back in. Here we go. Molly Whop Monday. Ian, Nathan, Chris, and Kevin. And I mentioned before the break, J.P. Crawford. Hitting streak is now 8 games. Ties a season high. Career mark as well. Reaching base 17 of 19 games in the month of June. Chris, I'll start with you. There's been a lot of discussion about, you know, on our show, on this segment every couple weeks, we talk about who's going to be part of this lineup going forward. I think we all believe Crawford will be, but maybe not at the position he's playing right now. Despite the fact he's a Gold Glover, where do you see the future for J.P. Crawford, Chris?
I have to be honest with you. The last couple of weeks have really turned my eye. And look, this happens a lot. J.P. Crawford, I believe, is 26 years old now, a player that was considered one of, in some places, they were calling this kid the top prospect in baseball for a little bit. So it is not unheard of for a player of his experience to turn things around. I definitely believe he's part of the long term. You know, you were talking earlier about the shortstop thing. Like, I think J.P. Crawford is a perfectly good shortstop. The metrics are kind of weird on him. Like, he's among the leaders in defensive runs saved. But if you take a look at some other places, the metrics suggest that maybe he's not quite as good as that Gold Glove moniker suggests. I'll never forget that Rafael Palmeiro won a Gold Glove for being a designated hitter. So that's something to definitely keep in mind. But the reason that you would be moving him to second base is, like, if you sign a Corey Seager or if you sign a Trevor Story, it's generally not a good idea to play them at second base after you give them a big long-term contract. If you're signing them to that type of deal, then you probably want them to be that shortstop. And now I realize the Mariners spent $240 million on Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano is kind of the exception that almost proves the rule in that situation. But look, J.P. Crawford, the approach at the plate has always been solid. He's making so much more hard contact. He's driving the baseball. He looks like, to me, a real answer going forward. It's just a matter of, is this a future star or if this is just a future nice player? But he's looked like a star over the last couple of weeks, and it's been really fun to see.
Nathan, if we look at J.P. Crawford in 2022, 2023, and beyond with the Mariners, where do you envision him being, and how do you see that middle infield looking?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what Chris said, and I know Chris has been high on J.P. for a really long time, and he's right. The prospect pedigree is so great there that it's really easy to get really excited. It's been really fun to watch him hit last couple weeks, particularly, like Chris said, the hard contact has been really good. J.P. has always been able to make contact and work the count, but for so often when we measure him by things like exit velocity, we're just not seeing, you know, him sting the ball. Right. I will just add a couple minor caveats that he's been here since 2019. We have seen him go on these kind of hot streaks before. Sure. So what I'm looking for is to see that last. I'll also point out that as excited as we are, and rightfully so by how well he's playing, this is still a guy by FWAR who's like only the sixth most valuable shortstop in just the American League so far this year. It is a loaded position. And that a lot of that goes into how you want to rate his defense, which, as Chris said, is all over the place. So I think he's here. I think if you have a guy like that under club control, you're going to need a really good reason to move him. I think just talking out loud, if they're looking to throw a lot of cash at somebody who plays shortstop, there's no reason to think that you couldn't throw a lot of money at Carlos Correa and start talking about the inevitable switch to third base, which I think most people think are coming for a player of his size anyway. I just don't think that there's a reason to look to replace him until you have a need to, because this is one of the few guys, him and Mitch Haniger, who are pretty much the only consistent guys that are getting on base all year long.
Kevin, you've watched Crawford for a few years. You know him better than a lot. I mean, where do you see him?
I mean, over the last 17 games, just so we're talking about, so everyone knows what we're talking about here with these hot streaks, a .436 on base with a .1068 on base plus slugging percentage. So what he's doing here is amazing, but you're right, he's done it before. I hope it's not a situation where they are able to use him as a reason not to spend money. That's
right.
Might be a little bit of what concerns me, is that, well, we have our shortstop.
Point. Yeah, and so stop right there. That's an interesting point. Because we have him, we're not going to pursue Seager, Corey Seager, whoever it might be, because we have him already at short. So we'll look elsewhere as opposed to maybe making some things fit. I love the career thought, but I mean, that's what you're saying right there, is that would be an excuse not to go out and write a check.
It's right. Well, obviously, all of these great players at this position this offseason are unfortunately at shortstop, and we already have our shortstop. So we're going to have to find, and then it worries me a little bit that's the direction it could go. Right. I do love the idea of bringing Correa and then moving him to third. We've seen shortstops move to third base. I can think of one Hall of Famer and one who should be a Hall of Famer in my head right now that made that move pretty easily. And yeah. I'd love to see that happen. So that is the one part that scares me a little bit, is that they are going to see these flashes of brilliance, and that's going to make it easy for them to pass on spending the kind of money that they should be.
I would just add a quick caveat to agreeing with all of that. A big part of Crawford's bat is if that bat can hold up and he's actually, you know, closer to the hitter that he's shown recently as opposed to who he's been in the past, it gets a lot easier to think about the idea of moving him to second, because right now the player we think he is, a lot of his value is tied to his ability to play shortstop. Whereas if this is a plus bat at a middle infield spot, you can move him to second base and you're fine and bring in a real glove first guy to play shortstop without an issue.
Chris, you mentioned just some of the analytics and just like as a shortstop. He's a Gold Glover, and that's a moniker, and we hang that on somebody and we think they're an elite defensive player. You're telling me Crawford's not an elite defensive player?
I don't know if he's an elite defensive player. I would put him somewhere between very good and good, and that's still like – it's good. It's good plus.
This is what good. Call it's good. Yeah, yeah. Very good and good is good.
But certainly not like – the elite defensive player that a Gold Glove mark at shortstop would suggest. Like, again, he makes the spectacular look routine, and occasionally makes the routine look spectacular. I mean, there are certainly enough defensive moments that are frustrating enough for me to say that he wouldn't be the guy I'd be voting for a Gold Glove, but certainly good there. And I think he would be, especially in the era of the shift, he would be an elite defensive second baseman.
Did we just start talking about Brendan Ryan?
I
got confused there.
No, I'm looking here. Crawford has a 281 next to one underneath where it says AVG 281. I think you would have had a times Brendan Ryan by two to ever get to that point at any point in the season. I do believe. All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let me just go through. So Crawford, Haniger, Seager, France, Moore, Bowers, Torrens, Fraley, Long, and then the pitchers. As we look through this lineup, Nathan, How many of these guys do we think 2 weeks after we last talked about placeholder and prospect, how many of these guys really have a future in 2022 on this team?
Well, it's been really nice, if we're talking positives, and we're doing a positive vibes episode of Molly Wop today. It's been really nice to see Ty France hit for some power again, getting him back, because that's been really concerning. This is a guy who really only has any value if he hits. I mean, you're going to try to hide him on the defensive baseball field if he's out there and not DHing. So seeing him come around and actually whacking the ball a little bit has been really great to see. Bowers, I mean, look, Jake Bowers is a formerly highly rated prospect who's had plenty of opportunities in Cleveland. I love the idea. I'm a huge fan of grabbing highly rated prospects on the cheap, which is what they did. They literally didn't give up anybody to get him, just cash considerations, which, as we all know, Mr. Stanton has plenty of those to consider. So I love it. And it's been really great. And honestly, for the entire time that Jerry Dipoto has been here, the first base position has been such a catastrophe that it's just been such a breath of fresh air to have somebody go in there and grind out Major League at bat. That said, he's getting soft contact hits left and right. His BABIP, batting average on balls in play, does not feel particularly sustainable, but mark me down for tight. I'm more intrigued, honestly, about what's going on with Luis Torrens at DH. The pop that he's been showing recently is really encouraging. I don't know if it's tied to this recent banishment on gunk the pitchers no longer have. We've seen a lot of the Mariners sting the ball a lot more than they were, so I got to see more. But at this point, Ty France has been a real positive.
A lot of things we can look ahead to in the next couple of weeks, including what you just said about the sticky stuff on the pitcher's hands. Chris, I'll get the final minute for you to wrap things up.
I would echo everything Nathan said. I would also say Shed Long is somebody that we should be paying a little bit more attention to just because of the versatility of play all over the place. And also just a guy that's an awesome dude and you really want to root for. But look, this is still mostly, I would also echo all those sentiments about Jake Bowers. This is a replacement level player. I really don't think that he's going to be a part of the future. But you know what? Haniger and those guys, it's great to see. It's tough to imagine that most of these guys are going to be part of this organization in the next couple of years.
Perfect. Great stuff. Good place to wrap it up. Nathan, tell us about Dome and Bedlam.
Yeah, check us out for our occasional Mariners missives. Usually we write when the Mariners screw up, so we have anything to write for a while. Also, we'll occasionally podcast, domeandbedlam.com. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan_H_B.
And Chris, same thing.
NBC Sports Edge. You can follow me at Crawford_MILB and check out the Circling the Bases podcast. We do 5 days a week. It's great.
All right. Chris Crawford, Nathan Bishop, Kevin Shockey. Good stuff, guys. Molly Wapp with a 4-game sweep at Tampa Bay. Who would have, we would have, this, I would have put about this 100-1 a couple weeks ago on this. We could have put some jack on this. All right, guys, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time. We'll take a break, come back. We got our daily power play coming up next.